And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favour with God and man. And especially this question of the Lord to his mother and to Joseph. How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Well, now, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is our pattern. We have that instruction from the scriptures. And of course, even if we didn't have such an instruction in the scriptures, like as Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ, well, we would see quite clearly, instinctively, that we're to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in his character and in his life. The Lord Jesus Christ is, of course, our pattern. We are disciples, we are followers, learners, imitators of our dear Saviour. Of course, not in everything that he did. Of course, not in redemption. Well, who could follow him? There is nothing we can do to save another soul, and certainly not our own. But of course, he is the pattern for us, especially in his devotion to his Father. The Lord Jesus Christ made a man, well, in that place of mediation, coming to save his people. His devotion to his Father is the pattern. Of course, his was perfect devotion. His was deep. His was absolute. Well, of course, we can never hope to get to such a point, but we follow the Saviour and seek to be like the Saviour in his devotion to his Father. Of course, in virtue, well, again, we know that we're never going to get to that sinless perfection that our Saviour had, but we follow. We seek to be holy. In his lifestyle, again, he is a great pattern for us. We know that, and we often preach on it. In practical holiness, in his kindness. Of course, this is what every Christian aspires to. But also in gospel methodology, we see how the Lord spoke to people, how he dealt with sinners, different sorts of sinners. This is our pattern. We follow it, and we're glad of it. All the instruction from the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ brought to us, which is, of course, why we so want to see all our fellow Christians at the gospel service, so that they can see how we should witness for the Lord, what the scriptures say, how we should argue and reason with people's souls concerning these things. So, of course, in gospel work, we follow the Saviour in what he did, and certainly how he loved those whom he spoke to. And for us this evening, well, we see here in service, he is our pattern. And we would say service, we would say simply, what he did for his Father. What are we doing for our Heavenly Father? Here we have a pattern in the whole life of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did for his Father. He came to do the will of his Father. And at the end of his life, in that prayer in John 17, he is able to say, I have done all that thou gavest me to do. Well, this is our pattern. Again, a high ideal, a high pattern, but nonetheless still a pattern for us to aspire to and to seek after from day to day. Well, he speaks here even as a boy. of his great aim in his life to serve his father, as he says, or we would say in modern language, don't you know I should be about my father's business? That's what he says to Mary and to Joseph. Don't you know, wist ye not, that I must be about my father's business? His service would of course go far beyond any duty laid upon us. His father's business was to seek and to save those that were lost, to purchase redemption for his elect upon his cross, to declare the mystery of the gospel in all its fullness for the first time. Well, to pray for his people, to perform sign wonders, to vindicate who he was and that what he said was the truth. Well, of course, that was his service. But even though these matters go beyond our scope and beyond our capabilities, yet even so, the performance of them is certainly a pattern for us. How he did it, the way he did it, and the way he went about it. The energy that he put into it, and the zeal, of course, which the disciples noticed so often, the zeal he showed, the love that motivated it all, that love first that he had for his heavenly Father. Well, it's all example to follow. Well, of course, you know that. You don't need me to tell you such a thing. But this is such an interesting scripture for us. For all that is required of servants of the Father in heaven, well, we look to our Saviour and see his pattern laid out before us. And before our Lord enters into all his work, he gives us a sublime and yet so simple indication of his attitude to service. And not just his approach to all his father's service, but also we see that he was misunderstood here, and how he was surprised and yet determined. Well, there are a number of lessons for us to see as we look at this beloved passage of ours here this evening. Now, we know that this is the only record that is placed of any incident of the childhood of the Saviour. We know that there's been much rubbish written concerning the Lord Jesus when he was a boy, utter inventions of men, nothing revealed in the scripture except this account when he was 12 years old. How significant then that this one and only account of his childhood should be about service. Isn't that interesting? We might have wondered if we had had the opportunity to say, well, what should the Lord first show us in his life? We might come to all sorts of different conclusions. But service? Isn't it interesting that this is the first thing that the Saviour indicates that he wants his disciples to follow him in? Well, how important for us that the Holy Spirit wants this one thing to be emphasised, to stand out, to be the first thing that we learn from the earthly life of the Saviour, his attitude to service. Now, I cannot say that this is the most important aspect of the Saviour's life for us, but it surely makes it so important to be right there at the beginning and sort of isolated as a sort of forward to his life story. The first words we have recorded from the lips of the Lord Jesus is, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? We cannot ignore that. A number of great writers have placed so much importance on the first time anything happens. Certainly our friend Mr. Pink would say this is so important. These are the very first words of the Saviour, the first words we hear him utter when he was 12 years old. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And so he would, and others, and I think us tonight would say, this must be important for the Holy Spirit to record this as the first words of the Saviour. Now we have to admit, what might once have been a great priority at the beginning of our Christian lives must somehow have got lost a little. How often do we say, I must be about my Heavenly Father's business, and mean it? Well, friends, of course, as we come to such a subject tonight, we have to admit that very often we've lost that sort of fervour that we first had when we knew the Lord. If you analyse the subjects for the Christian's personal life in Scripture, there are really only two things required of us: holiness and service. All matters to do with the Christian life fall into those categories. We keep ourselves unspotted from the world, that's holiness, and we visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. That is summing up all the practical side of our Christian life. Well, the service, there is nothing else really. They only come in those two categories. All our worship, prayer, thought life, behaviour and habit, that's all holiness, of course, you know that. And all practical kindness, gospel work, witness and giving is service. Now many pretend to a holiness, and it's rather easy to pretend to be holy. But service is much harder. It's much harder to play the hypocrite, because you cannot pretend to be served, because generally speaking, everyone can see what you're doing. Now, it's very interesting, but I sometimes think that if some of my shelves fell down and the books fell off them, and I just analysed any section of the books that I have and picked them up, there wouldn't be very many books, if any, on Christian service. Loads on holiness. Many, many books written on Christians being sanctified. Very few books written on service, except for one example in recent years that we're glad of. But you see, many of the old writers didn't really talk much about service, much more about holiness. There really is only one source that we come to see that we ought to serve the Lord, and that's here, in our Bibles, in our scriptures. Well, friends, that's the case. If that's the case, we ought to take in very carefully what the Bible says about service. But there are several aspects and matters surrounding Christian service that are thrown up in this intriguing snippet from the Lord's youthful life. Really just a few thoughts I bring to you tonight, really thinking out loud. First of all, this. There is always a frustration or an itch to get on with the work from real servers. They never really lose it. They cannot stand still. Let's challenge ourselves. Are we still saying, what else can I do from the Lord? Are we looking back and saying, I haven't really done much, even in a long life? Is there still something left for me to do for the Lord that will count for his kingdom? Not for me, not for any prestige it might bring to me, but for the Saviour's sake, for my Heavenly Father. Do we still think in that sort of way? Are we still sort of slightly frustrated when we don't seem to be doing much and we feel, what can I do, Lord? What else can I do? Or can I do something better? Or can I fill my time more with the things that I do for the Lord? Well, the Saviour is the pattern. He was 12 and he wanted to get on with it. It wasn't going to be until he was 30, till he was launched by the Holy Spirit on his earthly ministry of teaching and calling those disciples and preaching the gospel and then going to the cross. Well, it must have been very frustrating for the Lord, if I can say such a thing. Well, it ought to be the same for us. Have we lost it? Are we at ease now in Zion? Have we sat back, some of us, thinking, well, we've had our time, we've done our bit, let the younger take over? Or even the younger ones, are they beginning to think, well, what else can I do? I've got so many things to do anyway, and so many responsibilities. Well, the Lord is our pattern. Well, he wanted to be about his Father's business. Is that still true of us, the Lord's people? Another thing is that real servers, real servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, they see it as being the Father's business, not their own. They feel obligated to do that because it's the Father's business. It's his service. We're employed by him. Well, of course, many Christians lose their way and build up some self-esteem concerning what they do and what they've achieved. Well, we won't have none of that. But friends, we must understand it's the Father's business. It's what we've been called to. The Lord Jesus Christ is our King, and we are his servants. And so the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit call us to the Father's business. The business to build up a church for the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring glory to his name, to seek wandering sinners, even as we've just been singing. Friends, this is the Father's business. It's not ours. If it were ours, it wouldn't be very important. But it's the Father's business. So important. So important. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, and even as a boy of 12, he understood it. He understood it. I haven't come to do my will, he said later, but to do my Father's will, who sent me. This should be ringing in our ears. Then we have to say something about instrumentality. We talk about ourselves being instruments. And here the Lord Jesus says, I must be doing. I must be doing. And I think we can think of this in sort of two aspects. First of all, I must be used. I must be used. I must be the instrument. God uses me. In other words, God wants to do something and I'm sort of in the middle. And God uses me. So we are, in a way, a sort of mediator. We're the one in the middle. So our attitude is this. I must be about my Father's business. I want to be an instrument in his hand. I want him to use me in whatever way he wishes. This was once the great cry of many of us as young Christians, soon after we were converted. Where do you want me to go, Lord? What do you want me to be? As Paul said, as soon as he was converted, what is it that thou wants of me, Lord? He said in so many words. Well, friends, we want to be instruments. But there's another sense in which we have to think that not to be just passive, but we want to be actually doing something. Not just used in a sort of incidental way. We live a Christian life. We seek to be holy. Other people sort of notice and cotton on. And for some, that's helpful to them and maybe makes them inquire into the Lord. But more than that, more than just being passive instruments in the Lord's hand, to be active for him, to actually be doing something. I must be about my Father's business, says the Saviour when he was so young. And, of course, when we think of not doing anything, we feel, oh, is that really being in service? Is that really being about our Father's business? Well, friends, the Father's business actually involves us in doing something. It can never be just a quiet witness and the hope that someone will notice us and be persuaded just by our demeanour and our saintliness. Well, for most of us, we wouldn't think anyone would be persuaded by our saintliness, would we? But it can never be just a quiet witness, the hope that someone will notice something about us and be persuaded concerning the Christian faith. We want to be working instruments. You might think of the scalpel in the surgeon's hand. It does nothing. It does nothing, only what the doctor does with it, the surgeon does with it. Well, we're not instruments like that. We're more like the dentist's drill. The dentist moves it around, but the drill, the instrument, does the work. Well, I'm sorry about that illustration, but is this going to be our attitude? That we want to actually be doing something constructive for our Saviour? The Lord Jesus wanted that. Even as a youngster, he wanted to be about his Father's business. He wanted to be used, and of course, gloriously, he was. Well, think of that. Real service, you know, will be misunderstood sometimes by those that are closest to us. We see this here in verses 48 and 49. We know the incident so well. Christ was misunderstood by Mary and Joseph. Why? So often, you know, those that really serve the Lord are misunderstood. They're misunderstood. They're misunderstood in the sense that other Christians will say, why do they have to do so much? It makes me feel a bit awkward sometimes. So and so, he does so much. And others will think, why do they have to turn up so much to church? We have professing Christians even coming to our church that don't really do anything for the Lord. And you think to yourself, would they have anything of this in their mind and in their heart? And they would misunderstand us and they would say, no, it's not needed. It's not needed, they would say. Well, they wouldn't say that. But they would think that. Or that would be really where the conclusion they're coming to. You don't really need to do anything. To profess to be a Christian means you just turn up now and again to the service. Friends, that can't be right. That can't be right. Our Saviour shows us here. We must be about our Father's business. Oh, friends, this must be the case. And you know, the real server cannot really understand why fellow believers don't see that. Often, someone who serves the Lord very much, someone who serves the Lord diligently and seeks to have something of the Lord's pattern before him, being about the Father's business, often they can't understand why it is that other Christians don't seem to want to be involved, don't really want to be real members of a church in the sense of getting involved and doing things and coming alongside others and encouraging them in the gospel work. Oh, friends, I often used to say in different situations, just come on a Sunday night to the gospel service, because at least that encourages the believers that are really trying to get people there. But even that is too much for some, and we can't understand it. We can't understand it. We hope it doesn't mean that it's only a profession, that their profession of Christianity isn't real. We hope it doesn't mean that this is one of the signs that someone who really wants to serve the Lord is a believer, and someone who couldn't care less about it, well, are they really saved? Are they really the Lord's? We hope not that, that's not the case. But oh friends, it's a bit worrying when you think about such things. You can see I'm thinking out loud. But then also, of course, such people are not put off by such pressure. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, he went back and was subject to his parents through those years, and we understand that, and we know what it was all about. But at the same time, we are not put off when there are so many professing believers around us that seem to do nothing, at all for the Saviour. Will they have anything to offer the Lord as they get to glory? Will they have anything that won't be burned up in the general fire? Oh, friends, it's a wretched thing, isn't it, to think about. But you see, we are not put off because we still feel we should serve the Lord and try to do something significant for him. Certainly banded together in the local church, brought together by the Saviour's love and by his providence to help one another in the gospel work. And we stand shoulder to shoulder to make Christ known. It's interesting, isn't it, that this is a family problem. It was a family problem. Well, friends, this is a family problem. It's a church problem. Many churches struggle with it. Many churches struggle with just a few that want to serve the Lord. And of course, we know that as friends get older, that their service will be a different sort of service, and all sorts of things we take into account. But nonetheless, it's a family problem. And the preaching and the encouragement must address such a problem. We all ought to be about our Father's business. This is what the Lord has set a pattern for, even in his young life. The Saviour says here, "Why have you sought me?" Why have you sought me? They did not know where he was. And it did not dawn on them that he should be about his heavenly Father's business. Now we know that Mary and Joseph understood a lot. And we won't run Joseph or Mary down one tiny bit. They were great believers. The Lord chose them for very, very special tasks. And they did their tasks absolutely well and gloriously. But they didn't understand everything. And sometimes they forgot. But here we see that it hadn't dawned on them that the Saviour had come to do this heavenly mission, come to earth to save people from their sins and to bring them to glory. They'd forgotten that. They'd forgotten that he was a Messiah, perhaps through that first 12 years after the initial glorious happenings of the incarnation and the nativity of the Saviour. Perhaps they'd forgotten. Perhaps still they saw, of course, that sinless perfection that was in this youngster that was in their home and wondered. And Mary pondered on such things. But for the moment, they had forgotten and were a little scolding. And here we must reprimand them a little, though we would have done the same thing. But we see in this situation that so often people don't understand. They don't understand where real Christians want to serve the Saviour. They don't really understand that the Christianity is more than just saying that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and come into an odd service. Oh, friends, we know that it's more than that. We must prove our love for the Saviour by serving him. But the greatest thing that could be said of us, if the question were asked, as the parents asked here, we sought you and we didn't know where you are. If anyone should ask a question of us, where's so and so and what are those people at Woolwich Evangelical Church doing? The answer that would first occur to some who know us would not be, well, they're retired, or they're bringing up the family, or they're busy with the jobs. No, the answer hopefully would be they're seeking to pioneer a gospel church. They are about the Father's business. They are about their Saviour's instructions and seeking to carry them through, to carry the gospel into all the world and teach every creature. Oh, friends, this is what the Lord shows us in such a passage as this. This is why the Holy Spirit has had it recorded. Many things else must have happened in the young life of the Saviour, but this is all we have. And it's precious, isn't it? It's precious. It shows us how important this subject is. And so we ask ourselves, are we really serving the Lord? Do we still want to? Do we have a care? Or have we given up and wrung our hands a long time ago and said, well, what else can we do? Friends, well, even at such a meeting as this, I know we have amongst us those that are most concerned. most caring, most wanting to see the Lord glorified in this place. So I wouldn't come to rebuke you. But we set it in the setting of Christianity today, and we see so few that really want to serve the Lord. May the Lord bless us as we seek to serve him. Amen. Amen.